At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for listening. Great, great show this week. Conversation with Scott Van Pelt, who is always excellent. We'll get into Scott doing post-game for the NBA Finals, his interview with Draymond Green, where it got a little awkward, get into the LIV golf situation, why there needs to be more sing-alongs at sporting events, bad beats, a lot of topics covered with SVP, and then following that, train of thoughts with my buddy Sal Licata, where we get into a good discussion about stand-up comedy today. I watched Ricky Gervais over the weekend, and we get into some stuff about that and a couple of sports things as well. Before we get to Scott and train of thoughts, let me just tell you, last week, if you missed it, Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty, was on the SI Media Podcast. 2 weeks ago, Brian Curtis. 3 weeks ago, Richard Deitch. 4 weeks ago, Joe Davis from Fox Sports. If you missed any of those, go into the archives, give them a listen, download, listen, subscribe, rate, review. There's a lot there. I know it's a big ask, but if you could at least subscribe and then maybe review, that would be best. All right, let's get to this week's show. Scott Van Pelt, followed by train of thoughts right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular, I think I can call him, the host of the very popular Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt. Scott Van Pelt. Scott, how are you?
I'm thrilled to be back, Jimmy.
I have to say, I'm very, very lucky that I do have a very nice group of regulars who are always nice enough to come on and agree to come on usually. And I will say, among those regulars, the two people who despise getting asked the most are you and Joe Buck.
Okay. Well, I'm in good company.
I mean, you guys always do it. You're always great to me. I cringe when I have to send the text. And you guys, in your most polite way, respond with like, oh, fuck, why are you asking me this? But you do it. So I appreciate it.
I never say that.
You don't say it. You find
it.
And
I'm never lying. When I say to you, we have some school thing.
I believe
I have a school thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not, if I wanted to invent it, I would just say I have agita and I can't, it's terminal afternoon agita. Can't join you. And I'd never do it.
Right.
But I don't. No, I'm not lying.
You always do it. You always do it. Yeah. And I appreciate it.
We find the time.
It's always good to talk to you too. And I wanted to get you on during the NBA Finals because you come on after the NBA Finals. And I mean, you're sort of the post-game show. And that's got to be a nice little adrenaline rush for you. And, you know, it would have been nice to get a seventh game out of that series. But
No, actually, it wasn't. It was better to get it in six because it meant we had Father's Day off. So we were openly rooting for Golden State. For life purposes, nothing against Boston, but thrilled to have a Sunday night where we didn't. I was actually down at the beach, and so being able to stay through the night and just have a Father's Day and hang out, that was great.
That's nice.
It was, and the adrenaline rush is the correct way to frame it, because like you me, everyone consuming this, we all love Inside the NBA. Okay. So I get that when that show ends, that it's just, it's a bummer for everybody because it's just, it's a blast. It's just the rarest of things, the combination of personalities and truly not giving a shit that Charles and that whole group has, with Ernie just the maestro making it all work. When it ends, I'm sad. Our show isn't that. Obviously, we can't try to be that. But I think what we've created, particularly in a game six type of deal, is here comes Steve Kerr, here comes Jordan Poole, and here comes Stephen Curry, who, by the way, Jimmy, he's done the on-court interview. He owes us nothing.
Right.
No star has been kinder to our show than Steph. And I'm always truly grateful for that, because he could just say, no, I'm good. I talked to Lisa Salters. I'm set. He always comes on with us. And when I'm done doing this and I really reflect on the coolest part of this gig, having the opportunity to talk to the coach or the athlete still literally in the arena, sweat and champagne mixed on their bodies, still haven't taken the jersey off, to talk, ask Steph Curry, what are they going to say now? What are you going to say now? That's a fun spot to be, because yeah. I think you get the first chance they've had to kind of think about it and be honest about what, you know, our job is all some version of, you're not supposed to ask how does it feel, but that's really all you want to know. You're not supposed to ask what does it mean, but you really want to know what does it mean. So you're just trying to come up with a clever way to say this one. You know, it seemed like there was a lot in it, man. What was all that hit you? I love those spots. And I'm really, really grateful that that's what we get to do.
It's weird because he's obviously this mega huge superstar, but I feel like Steph actually doesn't get enough credit for being such a good guy. I mean, that is a guy where if you can't root for that guy, I mean, obviously if you're a Celtics fan, I get it. But like, if you're a sports fan who can't root for Steph Curry, there's something wrong with you. I mean, that is as likable as a player in all of sports, I think.
I totally agree. And Steve and I have said as much on our podcast. Like, yeah, people like him, Giannis, I don't know what it is. The NBA has its own subset of fans that seem to root against players and teams more than they root for players and teams, which I find really strange. And if you're anti-Steph, what do you like? What do you covet? What's your sweet tooth for if it's not for that?
Right.
And I got to, just through the years, I got to tell you that nobody's been just, Steve Kerr always tells me he's a better human. He's one of the best players we've ever seen. He's a better human. And years ago, Jimmy, I did a thing on my daughter's birthday and we got to the end of an interview with him. And I was trying to let him go.
Right.
And he's like, no, hold on. I wanted to say that thing you did about your daughter. And it's just, it was one big thing about my daughter. And
I remember that.
And he stopped to talk to me about that. The fact that he consumed it, it's always nice to know that something you do that's personal about life finds its way to whoever. Yeah. But the fact that it resonated with him, and that in this moment, after they had just beaten Houston and he was incredible, he wanted to talk about that. And the other night after the game four performance, he's like, hey man, that US Open, because we wanted to talk about golf, because the last time he was on, I said, hey, next week, if you're bored during the day, we've got the PGA on. He's like, I'll be watching. So he's trying to give me a pop for the US Open. I'm like, Steph, that's a different network, bro. I'm going to be watching it with you, you know? But he's thinking in ways that I don't think many superstars in that moment think. And it's rare, and I appreciate that.
It's interesting to me to hear you say that it still surprises you when someone's consuming your content, because one, you're one of the most, you know, popular and likable sports media personalities, and the real estate you have on ESPN at 11 o'clock, give or take an hour, depending on what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's because I feel that way, but I'm, you know, nobody. To hear you say it is interesting to me. So
I think that's the, I guess really what it is, Jimmy, is how does anyone consume anything now? Are they sitting there watching it, or is it something that gets tweeted out? And I've said this a million times about James Corden, that I don't know how often I've been sitting in front of my television when his show came on and watched his show, but I've seen him sing in the car with a lot of people. And so the way things get consumed now, maybe it was on Twitter and Stanford Steve tweeted it out or something. I mean,
right.
The thing I did about my dog Otis, like, I mean, in a day, there were however many million yeah. people had seen that. You just don't know how what you do. It's like the LeBron in the dust. It gets right. thrown up and it gets wherever it gets blown and wherever it lands. You just don't really know how and when people are actually kind of actively consuming anything. So yeah. I guess that's why anymore the show's important, but those things that find people in other spaces are equally as important, I guess.
On a much smaller level, and this is going to make me sound like the biggest buffoon ever, but Tom Brady liked a tweet I had sent to him last week. So that gave me like a little extra pep in my step that day.
There you go.
I was all feeling it.
Well, but it's fun to know, right? Like, hey, right. that's cool. That guy saw right. that thing. I mean,
right.
look, you say I have this real estate. I get it. I've done this a long time, but you still, I still mention Steph talking about my daughter just because in that moment, it was mind boggling to me
right.
that this guy that had just scored 23 in the fourth to dispatch with Houston wanted to mention this thing I did about my daughter. Like,
yeah.
I don't care how long I do this. I'll never outgrow an appreciation for what we did being appreciated. So
yeah.
Tom Brady liked your tweet. I mean, yeah, I'm Jimmy fucking Trainor. Now what?
Exactly. I had that for like 10 minutes and then I realized.
Put that on a shirt. Put that on a shirt.
Yeah, it's Twitter. And I mean, you know, we got to move on. It's not real life. I got to ask, I want to get into Draymond to piggyback off Steph. Because you had an interesting interview with him. But since you brought it up, we're going to go right off the highway here and since you mentioned it, do you have a favorite, all-time favorite James Corden carpool karaoke?
I go back to the original. I think it was the original with George Michael. Just because.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where people are on George Michael. God rest his soul. But like, watch that dude sing at Wembley when he did at the Queen tribute. Watch him sing Somebody to Love. That right. guy could go, man. I mean, And I think that launched it because James Corden can really sing. And the moments, there are all these little moments where you see the person who he's with realize, I think it was like Adele. You see Adele look at him like, oh, this guy can sing.
Right, right,
and
right.
I just think that, I mean, me and you are getting tweets like, he's singing with Adele. And he was looking right. at him like, oh my God, this guy can sing.
Yeah.
I think that he's... That little lane of his was just such a brilliant window into having the balls to sing next to Adele in a car.
Right. Right.
Because you got
to go toe to toe. Yeah.
You got
to
think you can do it. You know, you want to try to hit the high notes. And I don't know. There's been so many of those that were funny. But I again go back to George Michael and I think that was the first one he did. And then that was.
For anyone who doesn't know, the George Michael one he did for, I think it was like a benefit charity thing they did in England. It wasn't part of his CBS late show.
No, but
the first one he did here was with Mariah Carey.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But then, but the George Michael thing, that's like the snowflake at the top of the hill that becomes the avalanche, right? That was the birth of it.
That was the inspiration.
As I understand it. But, and we had him on during the pandemic. And, I said, I know this is a terrible question. It's impossible. But is there one, you know? Yeah. I mean, it was Paul McCartney, like on Abbey Road, I think it was. And it's like, how do you make that make sense if you're him? You know what I mean? You're in a car with the Beatle.
Right.
Driving down that road, singing the song.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, McCartney just had his 80th birthday over the weekend. And I actually went and rewatched that carpool karaoke. And at one point they're singing Let It Be and James Corden tears up and it makes him think of his father, grandfather. Yeah, James Corden gets a lot of shit online, like a lot of people do, but like, that's one I don't understand. Like, you don't have to think he's funny. You don't have to like his show, but it is weird that he gets so much shit. Like, it's just like a nice guy doing a talk show. Like what are we hating on that for? Like,
well, but that's
whatever.
That's just the way the world works. I mean, we talked about this and when it comes to social media and how people behave on it, it's typically not how people actually behave. So I think you just kind of just keep it moving, you know?
Right. So back to the NBA, Warriors, post games, you had Draymond on.
1 second. We have a very important question. Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Is that what you want? Let it rip. Okay.
What's the question?
my little man's got like a bag of mini Oreos. And I mean, he might have had six already, but I just gave him the nod. Like, yeah, you're good. I'm just
Dad's
trying to
doing
buy
a podcast. Just, you could do is have as many Oreos as you want today.
That's what I'm for my guy, Jimmy here. I'm just trying to keep this moving. Draymond, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So you had an interesting interview with Draymond after one of the NBA finals games where, you know, Draymond is one of these athletes who's all about new media. You mentioned he's part of the new media, and then he got offended, which I found amusing.
I didn't get that. He's the one that said it. Isn't he the one that said he's new media? I was just trying to give him credit for saying, look, you now have control of your narrative and you can go do your podcast now. So
take me through, though, if you don't mind, pull the curtain back for people listening. I'm just when you're doing that live and you say new media and he gives it back. He didn't give it. I don't want to over dramatize it, but he pushed back a little on that. Are you now what's going through your head in that moment? Like, I got to correct this. I don't want to get into it with him. What's going on here?
I didn't think it was worth it. It was something about how Stephen A's new media too. That was the comment that I think was said. And all I was trying to say is as he and I were having this conversation about the noise and the chatter is it, well, now, you know, you have the autonomy. You're in charge of your message to go do your thing. And something came up about Stephen A. I said, well, he's new media too, right? Like, because Draymond said, and I guess what Draymond actually said was it sometimes he's new media. I don't give a shit who's what. Because here's the thing, Jimmy. We're years and years and years and years ago when Deadspin, the first one with Will Leach came out.
Yeah.
I realized it seemed very obvious to me that this we're all in the pool together here. And there was, I think, people in the more traditional lanes initially just looked. It was the tired joke about people in their parents' basement.
Right.
Well, no, actually, this is a voice that has an audience and it carries weight. Now, they do whatever they want. And you can argue about whether or not they should be doing things they do. And where are the lines? Well, they kind of aren't any, but it seemed clear to me. And I said as much, there's no us and them. There's just us. And I think now as it relates to media, there's no new and old because people that are in old media are doing the new media and people that are in new media are cutting through in ways that people in old media didn't think they ever would maybe many years ago. Right. So I guess all I'm saying is, whatever Stephen A is, he exists in both lanes. And Draymond clearly is his content cuts through in his podcast or with me. I wasn't hurt by it. Like, I didn't take it to be that he was mad at me.
Right.
I guess he was just sort of correcting the semantics. And it didn't trouble me. I mean, whatever. However your Draymond frames what Stephen A. Smith is or what he is or what any of us are, it doesn't feel important. I think it's important that he has that place where he wants to do his thing.
Yeah.
And I think people are interested in hearing the guy that was just out there not long after he's left saying what he has to say.
Yeah. Like I love this trend of athletes having their own podcasts and doing their own thing. I'm you know, two guys at ESPN who I'm huge fans of. And I've mentioned this on Twitter a million times in my comment, like I'm huge fans of JJ Redick, Richard Jefferson. I think the way they do things is unique. And this business, it's all about being unique and standing out. I think they fit that. But, you know, Draymond wants to get hung up on new media, all he's doing there really is saying like, okay, athletes are going to have their own voice and we're not going to criticize each other. That's really what he's saying because the media, the traditional media, we criticize and it doesn't always have to be negative. I mean, we're allowed to say someone had a poor game. It seems like Draymond doesn't even want that to be said. You could come up with the cute name new media, but all it means is we're going to just, you know, protect each other basically.
But that's odd because NBA Twitter is nonstop. I mean, he and John Morant have been, you know, have been going at it ever since. And Clay sat right up there on the dais after they won and called Jaren Jackson a bum because he had tweeted about him earlier. And I mean, the NBA Twitter machine never stops. So that's new media also. And so these storylines that almost have a WWE feel to them. Mm-hmm. They perpetuate. They're the gas in the engine that goes and goes. But I mean, I zero issue with anything Draymond said. I don't think he had it. I don't know what I said that was wrong, but it didn't.
Right.
I wasn't worried about it. I like go do your podcast, man.
And here's the other thing I would say to Draymond. Like you can sit there and new media, but your new media needs the old media because you clearly seem to thrive on what everyone says about you. Like, you know, he's up there, he's arguing with Chris Russo, he's arguing with John Morant, he's arguing on whoever it is, you know, with you saying new media. I mean, he clearly thrives off of it. So it's not, I don't think he wants the old media go away. I think by you saying WWE, I think he's trying to set up new media versus old media, but he wants old media there so he can have that battle.
Well, I mean, we're a means to an end, if nothing else. I mean, because we're still... This could veer into the conversation of, again, it's part and parcel of what I was talking about with how people consume what they consume. Where do you find it? Content's content wherever it lives. And, you know, there's still a space for the old media or whatever the hell I'm doing. And, you know, and I can also dip my toe in the other thing as well. But I'm couldn't be more pro Draymond being in charge of his voice.
Absolutely.
Using it to amplify things he finds interesting, have interesting conversations in ways that he could have them that I could not as a peer of guys in the league. And the thing I genuinely love about Draymond is that I truly think he is, it's like a Charles Barkley. I think he's Draymond at all times. I think he doesn't have to edit himself and doesn't. I think he's the version of himself he always wants to be. And good for him, because not many of us can say that. You know, we have to kind of put on a different outfit for a different room or a different setting, and we have to be a more sanitized version of ourselves. I think Draymond's just like, I'm going to be me. Right. And if you don't like it, even better, because I'll be me louder. So good for him and all the things he's doing.
I'm going to be me, and I want the attention is also a big part.
Well, look, I mean, yeah. You don't do, and you don't put yourself out there if you don't want the attention, and you're not afraid about what type of attention you get. You know, some people only want attention.
That's the key.
If it's adulation, you know, if they're there to kiss your ass, if somebody's there to say, hey, no, this is nonsense or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think it troubles him, which is, and that's rare too, because it pisses a lot of people off if you get attention that isn't sort of flowery.
I said this on the podcast. It was either last week or 2 weeks ago. My buddy Sal Licata, who does a radio show on WFAN, comes on every week and does a segment with me at the end of this podcast. And Durant responded to one of his tweets, and Durant said he thinks sports talk radio is a cesspool. So Sal, being on sports talk radio, you know, didn't really appreciate the comment. Whereas I told Sal, I would do anything for Kevin Durant to tweet me and say, Jimmy's segment sucks, his podcast. Kevin, please send it out there. I'm ready. Let's go. Give me the attention.
But it means to an end, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
I think, listen, Durant's fascinating too, because as we know, I mean, he mixes it up. And I said somewhere, I think I said with Russillo, that the thing I appreciate about Durant is that I don't think he doesn't give a fuck.
No way.
But then people are like, well, yes, he does. He has burner accounts. If he didn't, he wouldn't do this. And I'm like, no. He doesn't care that you know that he does that. He's there to say, listen, because really what you're saying is, I'm Kevin Durant. I'm one of the best players in the world, and you're a bum. Okay. And so if you want to say that's fine. I'm the guy out here that you're paying to watch. And he's not saying that, but he could if he wanted to.
Right.
And I think that they're not being worried about how your consumption of content is taken, and not being worried about the content you're creating with your tweets. That to me isn't giving a bleep either. And so maybe we can argue those semantics, but all these things are part of what makes the NBA, I think, unique as it comes to sports in terms of what the level of engagement on a daily basis. And it just goes on all summer long. Yeah. And then the season starts, and then there's somebody tweets out eyeballs, and then it's on, you know?
Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
I want to transition to golf because you're a big player in the golf world, but you mentioned the summer and getting through the summer. I was going to ask you this later on, but we'll do it now quickly. As you know, there's no bigger fan of bad beats than me. Unfortunately, we don't have our NFL. We don't have our college football right now. Now the NBA just ended. Do you do anything? What do you do for a gambling fix between now and the first NFL preseason game or college football or something like that? Because this is now, you go two ways with it. This is now the time to take a break, or you dip it in things you shouldn't be dipping in. What does Scott Van Pelt do?
I mean, I'll just say that long ago, when I was a young man that had no funds and no fear, I was heavily invested in the Oakland A's and the World Series. They played the Reds. Had them for the series and had them every game. Jimmy, the Oakland A's didn't win a game against Cincinnati. And at the end of that World Series, I had lost money that I did not have. So when it comes to baseball and dabbling in that, I just leave it alone.
Now, we have very, very similar experiences and philosophies on that. Baseball is a problem for me, and I have to stay. And here's the sick thing. I love betting baseball. I love it. But I can't do it. I just can't do it on the day-to-day basis. When the NFL season starts and baseball gets into the postseason, then I'll dabble in it. But regular season baseball, I've had to give that up. It's a problem.
Well, yeah, you need to give it up because, well, unless you're prepared to invest the time to really study, and do you really want to be waking up on July the 11th and looking at the lines and seeing like, where's some value of this? You know, no, just give yourself a little time off from that day-to-day grind. But if you're asking me, what am I doing in that space personally versus what are we doing in terms of content? Because horrible.
Personally, I want personally.
Leave it alone. Just
take a break.
Just tap out.
Yeah.
Tap out and not, there's no need. Yeah. It's not, I don't have the energy for it mentally. And I'm happy because we get to tap out at the end of the month and we take a pretty long break. And it's fun to not have to think about this every day, to not be asking myself, what are the stories I'm interested? What are the things that happen that are funny, entertaining, blah, blah, blah. It's nice to just let your mind be mush. For a month and a half.
I have enough anxiety as it is. And then I realized the anxiety I was giving myself deciding between minus 190 and minus a run and a half for, you know, like 15 minutes sweating, figuring out which way to go when there's an ace. I said, you know, I don't need this. Take a break for July and August.
We're the same person, man.
Yeah.
Because you know that you need to find somebody that's plus 140 that you like, because the dog's the only way to go.
Right.
But the favorite's the favorite for a reason. And so you're like, do I lay the 190? I'll lay the run and a half. And then somebody, it's like a sack fly in the ninth. And you're just like, I hate my life.
And here's another thing I realized too. I, in the beginning of the season, if people remember, there were like no runs being scored in baseball.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it changed.
Right. So, and I had money in the account from, you know, the tournament. And so I said, I'll dabble here. And I was betting unders. And then what happened? Forget how it changed. Forget that. I was betting unders and the game would be, 2-1 in the ninth, 3-2 in the ninth. And then because of this ridiculous rule with the runner on second, these teams would score 4 or 5 runs in extra innings. And then the game's going over. I said, this is why I stopped betting baseball. Take a break and control yourself.
I want to say that we've had several episodes of bad beats that involved totals and involved extra innings. Yeah. Every single time that I have a highlight, I said it last night, the Blue Jays and the White Sox got to extra innings. White Sox had this great rally. And then I said, now it's the 10th and there's this idiotic runner on second base. Think of how dumb this is.
It's the dumbest thing I've seen in sports in ages.
This is baseball. Think about the romantic kind of attachment we have to baseball and the purity of baseball.
Right. Because we can't handle 2 or 3 games in a season going 16 innings. Really?
Protecting the bullpen. No, yeah. Okay, I get it. But in a sense, I don't, because I hear James Earl Jones, baseball speech from Field of Dreams. And I at no point does James Earl Jones say, and there's a man on second base in the 10th inning. What? Why is there a man on second base in the 10th inning? Well, because we just put him there. What? I mean, it's just preposterous that this is happening.
Right. And I don't want to open this door, but it started because of COVID. That's what the most ridiculous thing of all is.
Yeah, and there's 7 inning doubleheaders and everybody's just trying to squeeze it in. And now it's like,
because you can't get COVID in the 8th and 9th inning. Yeah. You can get COVID in the 8th and 9th, not in the 2nd or 3rd inning.
We need pitch. We need a pitch clock. Right. People are bored, blah, blah, blah. It's just either play baseball or don't play baseball. Don't do this nonsense with a run. But that's going to go away eventually. So, but that's anyway, I'm not going to bet on it. But there, as long as we're doing, as long as we have segments, baseball will be providing us tremendous content.
Yeah.
We had a couple of Cardinal bad beats where the other team's total went over because they had Pujols pitch in the ninth inning and they had who else did they have? They had
not Goldschmidt. It was Molina maybe?
Molina.
Yeah.
Yeah, Molina pitched as well. And they threw 50 mile an hour pitches that gave up home runs. Can you imagine betting? Now, granted, if you're betting under Pittsburgh team total, I mean, you're in a really niche lane here, but people do it.
And I respect that lane, for the record.
Of course. And you just lost because a catcher just threw a 50 mile an hour bus ball down the plate and the guy hits a home run and you lose.
The NFL is king.
Yes.
College football is right there. I've said this to you before, the greatest bad beat. You did the greatest segment on it in that Mountain West game when the coach declined a holding penalty in the snow, all that. But in my opinion, in my experiences, there's no bad beats like baseball bad beats. I think by far, that's my opinion.
Somebody recently retweeted this and they said, is this the worst bad beat ever? And it's on the list. The Mets were playing whoever, and it was the total was 7.5, and it was 3-3, and Ventura hits a grand slam, and the runner turned around and ran back to get him after the first run scored, and so it's not a grand slam.
Right.
I had a buddy from Paramus, New Jersey, that went to Maryland, who got me into the life back in the 80s when I bet on the Kansas City Kings in a game, Jimmy Traina. And I lost, and I'm like, here we go.
Tap
the vein, and like, who's going late? Anyway, this guy, Paramus, New Jersey's own, Big Al, he had the Mets over for size. This is a guy that was unafraid, okay? He won, and then he didn't. And nothing else. What else could happen like that? Only baseball. Could the runner on second turn around and go hug Ventura, and now it's just a 4-3 final.
Absolutely. I remember my first bet ever was I was in college and I bet a Tennessee football game. I bet them to cover. I think they were like -7 or minus, and they did, but I don't remember who they played. And it pisses me off that I can't remember who they played. Let me switch to golf because you're a big part of the golf world at ESPN. Obviously, this lift thing I find fascinating because it's given golf a lot of attention. The ratings for the last couple of tournaments have been way, way up. I don't know if that's a product of the attention. Let me start with this because you're the expert here and I know nothing about it. So just from my standpoint, the purpose of this podcast in terms of media, they don't have a media deal right now with golf. They're on Facebook and YouTube, I guess. Do you see them getting a US TV deal somewhere along the line. Is that going to happen, do you think?
It has to for this to be a story that actually matters and is more than just the attention of the money that people are getting to go there. In other words, anywhere I go, people are asking me about this. Hey, what do you think of the Liv thing? And so it's clearly interesting, the story. But then I immediately ask the person who asked me, did you watch it?
Right. No. I think it was either Austin Karp or maybe O-Ran, someone from maybe Sportsman's Journal. Their first tournament maxed out it on YouTube and Facebook at 93,000 viewers at one time, which on TV would get you canceled in 5 seconds.
But right. So again, this topic of all the money is interesting. Free agency in the NBA is going to start here in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And free agency is interesting because this player, say the Kyrie situation, say they reach this impasse and he decides, you know what, I'm not going to sign my extension, my player option, and he becomes a free agent. Well, where does he go? Well, there's a lot that's interesting about it. But wherever he ends up, Jimmy, he's still playing in the NBA and we're going to watch him. Say he ends up with the Knicks, doesn't have to leave the city, just changes uniforms. Or say he ends up with LeBron in LA. NBA Twitter, storylines, all those things. But then he plays in the NBA next year. So what's happening with this is, okay, Brooks Koepka, he's a name. He's a big name. He's a popular guy. Well, he just left yesterday. Well, that's a story. Wow, he's a free agent. Well, are you going to watch him when he plays in Oregon next week? At some point, you've got to be able to watch it and consume it in a way that matters beyond just being an internet only thing. So my answer to that is, I don't know who it would be, but it has to happen at some point for this to matter beyond just being something that we talk about here and that gets tweeted about a lot. The product has to be consumed in a way where it's resonating for it to be an actual topic as opposed to just conversation.
So my question to you, I need you to go inside the mind now of the typical average golf fan. Are they going to, let's say they got a TV deal in America. Mm-hmm. Are they still going to watch it? Now, are they going to watch it because of the few big names that are in there, like Koepka and Phil and DeChambeau? Or does the fact that it's not really competitive because they've already been paid, what are these players playing for exactly? Would that turn people off who follow golf?
I can't speak for everybody. I mean, it's like I always like anything that we consume is ice cream. Just what flavor do you like? You know, there's some people that love this. Some people might say, oh, this is cool. It's 54 holes. It's a shotgun. Most people I talk to are like, why is that a selling point to me? I mean, I keep saying the same thing. At some point, the fact that Charles Schwartzel won a shit ton of money in London, good for him, but what does that have to do with me? And why do I care? I don't care that they're playing for all this money. That's not interesting to me. The fact that the Canadian Open went head to head that first week, and you had Rory, Justin Thomas, two of the most vocal front-facing stars of the PGA Tour out there battling and playing this incredible event. It was mayhem in Canada. It was great crowds. It was a fun event. You couldn't have had a better sort of FU from the PGA Tour. And I do believe it rated well. And then the US Open is always going to rate well because it's the US Open. But I think we're used to consuming it in 4 days and 72 holes. And I think there's something that people tend to appreciate about you earn money if you play well and you get nothing if you don't. I think that there's still a charm to that, right? Like if
absolutely.
Say you root for, you know, the Yankees. I know you do. Mm. You know, if Judge goes 0-for-4 and strikes out 4 times, like, hey, he didn't get a game check today. It feels like almost it's just, right? You'd say, well, he didn't earn anything today. So why should he get paid? Well, that's what I think is appealing to people about golf, that there's a line. You miss the cut. Sucks, but that's the way it is. Maybe play better. The live thing being 54 holes in a shotgun. Like the teams, no one even can articulate what that is or knows who the teams are. I don't have any, like, If I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan, I care about the Eagles. That's my team. There's nobody out there that gives a shit about some live team. They don't even know who they are.
Right.
There's no – what's been invested? I think fan engagement is largely in what how you invest in a person. And if you, I guess if you're a Koepka fan, you're going to find it. If you're a Phil fan, I guess maybe you're right. going to find it. But if you're just a golf fan, how hard are you going to work to find it? And are you going to find that instead of the PGA Tour? Ultimately, if they keep getting players, what you end up with are two marginal tours, and the game of golf is just hurt as a result.
Right, right.
And I mean, that's they've gotten some big names. Rosenberg on SI.com last week with Jimmy Dunn did a great conversation that if people are interested in this topic, go read Jimmy Dunn. I thought he had some really spot on comments about it.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I'm looking at it from a media standpoint more so than golf. And I'm not going to ask you to comment on this. I'm going to move on to the next topic, but I'm just going to make this statement. I mean, I just don't see ESPN, NBC, CBS, when they're in bed with the PGA, making any deals with Liv. I think the only company that would do it is Fox, because I think Fox would do anything. And I don't think they really have any sort of standards. And they have FS1, which nobody ever watches, so they could put it on there and do that. But if Liv doesn't get that, I don't see where they go or what they do. And you're just not going to last. I mean, listen, they're going to last because they paid these players and the tournament's going to go on. But in terms of relevance, you're not going to last being on Facebook and YouTube. You're just not. I'm sorry. Well, that's just the way it is.
I did. There's people that follow golf know the No Laying Up. They do a fantastic golf podcast, and I was on with them last week. And the comment was, "What's the sell here? What's the buzz? Where's the juice? What's the juice?" And so, like the growing the game. No, you're not growing the game. Look, you took the money. Every single person that did it took the money, and that's what you did. And saying it's team and it's 54, it's I got 100 million, man. And you in your cube, or you doing your podcast, or you doing your TV show. If 100 million was in front of you, would you have the fortitude to say no? I think that beyond the money, what is there here? So again. This topic is coming up so many places, and I get that the topic is interesting, but is the actual product interesting to anyone? And I don't hear anyone saying, I can't wait to go watch in Oregon next week.
I mean, to circle back to the beginning of something we mentioned, I mean, it's very WWE, you know, it's very wrestling oriented, like when WCW existed and the NWO came in. That so everything, you know, sort of has that feel to it. And you stole all my thunder, because the direction I wanted to go in is about money. And it's like, I must be just a complete weirdo, because I don't understand why we're still in a place where people can't say, I did this for money. I went on this whole rant with baseball, with their stupid streaming deals with Apple and Peacock. Like, just say we did it. Don't bullshit and lie and insult me and say we're doing it to grow the game. You can't grow the game by being on a streaming service at 11:30 on a Sunday morning when the people who watch you are 70 and older. So you're bullshit. Just say, we did this because we needed to make some extra money. Brooks Koepka has quotes that it's, you know, I think we shouldn't do things for money, and it's not about money, and it's not about money. And then he did this. Just say it. I would have so much more respect for people who just say we did it for the money. I think it would not be stories if people said we did this for the money. I don't understand why this is so taboo.
Because they're trying to grow the game. And that's what they're trying to do. I mean, it's the thing that will be, it could happen, is that if at some point the product isn't being consumed beyond the storyline, and then they just decide, look, we're not going to do this anymore. Then what? Well, then I guess you got all your money, and then you're doing this for life balance. Well, now you can hang out with your family all the time, because now you can't play on the PGA Tour. But you got your $100 million, and now the tour goes away.
Yeah. Dustin Johnson, he said, like, I did it to set up my family, right? He came out and said that, I think.
Vaguely. I mean, he just said, I did what was best for my family, I believe.
Okay, fine. That's code for I did it for the money. Yeah, just say that. Don't give me all the other bullshit. Just say we did it for, you know, I'm gonna be a total dick and put you on the spot here. Because a couple of hours ago, Chris Russo was on First Take. He was on Howard Stern today. And Stern, as always, prodded and got Russo to admit he's getting $10,000 an episode for First Take. And why Russo would say that, I have no idea, but he said it. And I mean, so I tweeted that, of course. And man, a lot of jealous people out there. A lot of people not happy that dogs. And it's like, okay, one, I don't think people understand TV is where the money is. Two, I mean, you know it because you're in TV, but I'm talking about the average fan. Two, like, you don't have to like Chris Russo. You don't even have to respect him. He's been on the air for 40 years. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, I want people to admit everything's about the money. Then when someone reveals a salary, people lose their mind and go crazy. So mm-hmm. I get the yin and yang of it, I guess, is what I would say.
Was there a question?
There's no there? Question there. I just wanted to throw that out there. Unless you want to
love, you love Russo and Stephen A together. You love
I do. I do.
Russo with his glasses on. Look at that. Well, hold on. I got to find my phone. I can't find my phone.
I do. I think you have to. I mean, first of all, listen, I'm a New Yorker. I grew up listening to Mike the Mad Dog. So that's where it all stems from.
Of course.
But there's two kinds of people in the world. There's the kind that actually care about what people are saying on TV, and there are the kinds who just want the entertainment value of it. I'm in the latter. So I could not possibly care less whether Stephen A. or Chris Russo thinks Steph Curry is a top 10 player. It's completely irrelevant in my life. I have my own opinion on it. But if Chris Russo is going to go on TV with broken glasses and can't work his phone, I'm going to laugh my ass off. So I'm going to choose to lean into that side of it.
New media doggy. How about
I don't even know. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what kind of media that is.
He's, you know what, in this business, if you have to be unique is really difficult. And I mean, his literal voice and his metaphorical voice are unique. And they found something there. It's different. I mean, he and Reddick? Mike together, that's its own thing.
Right, right.
That'll forever be its own thing because it was a very specifically New York thing that resonated there and made sense to you all in a way that other people are like, what is this, right? But his ability to maintain a relevance and have it translate in this forum, I think, I mean, to me, that speaks to why the guy's a forever legend in media, you know?
You did sports talk radio for many, many years. So that is kind of like debate-ish, but it's not like this First Take. But could you ever do a debate show like that?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I can never. I'm impressed by people that can do it. I couldn't do it because I would never. I at some point I would just say, you know what, I don't care, and then that's not good TV.
Train and Rampel. Yeah. What do you think? I don't really give a shit.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't pretend to be, I can't manufacture the energy for this today to like, and I'm a shades of gray guy because very, very rarely is something absolutely this or absolutely that. Mostly it's a little bit of both. And people would probably get really sick of me going, it's not that bad. Or, it's fine. And
it would be a lot of shoulder shrugging, which would not be good television.
Right. A lot of,
yeah.
And a lot of the shrug emoji. And that's probably not driving ratings. But I mean, I do. Like Russillo and he hit the nail on the head. He's like, we just watch the games and we like to talk about the games. Like, are we the ones doing it wrong? Were we supposed to do it a different way? And got that wrong. I would say no. I think it worked out okay for both of us. But no matter what anyone says, and I'm not singling out any show or any host, but if by definition, if you're doing a show that requires people to disagree, then you have to find things on which you disagree.
Right.
Because if all you do is go, I think Steph Curry's awesome. You already said, me too. Well, you and me are doing a shitty debate show because we both really like Steph Curry and don't know why other people wouldn't.
Right. And so, if you said to me that you didn't like Steph Curry, my response would be, okay.
That's like, fine.
Yeah, okay. I don't care.
Not one executive out there is thinking, jotting down, let's get Van Pelt and Trina to yell at each other on TV. And but there's an art form to it, to being able to, and that's why I always say about Stephen A. that there's he's no one works harder, and there is he's a born performer, an ability. Right. To wear many different hats, serious hats, theatrical. He can do that. He can really thrive in that particular space. Not everyone could, or they would try, I suppose. But for me, I,
Yeah, I get it. I'm the same way.
I say this. It could happen. I joke about that. I'm like, the heel turn could happen. New media. Well, somebody puts, you know, somebody puts $25 million on a pot, man, you're going to turn it on. And Van
Pelt's going
berserk, flamethrower. And you're going to like, look at Van Pelt. He sold out. And I'd be like, yep. And you know what? I did it for the money.
Right. Oh, I don't know what it is, but there is an amount out there that would make one of us say Steph Curry's not a great guy. Now, let me end with this. And I appreciate all the time. Like you just said, you know, you and Russillo said you just want the games. You know, I'm the same way, mainly, especially with NFL college. Just give me the game. But I do like a lot of the nonsense that is fun. You had a great tweet 3 days ago. I'm going to read it. And I just want to finish on this note. Avalanche fans doing lots of singing. I always felt like we missed the boat on that at sporting events in the States. Lots of fans singing in unison is always goosebumps. In review, more singing. Okay, good talk. Phenomenal tweet. Agree with every word. In fact, it was funny when you brought up George Michael. I had in my head to read this. I already knew I was going to read this tweet, and it was freaky that you brought up George Michael, because I tweeted recently. I didn't want it to come off as a like get off my lawn and I'm an old guy tweet, but there's this clip on YouTube of a famous concert where it's a Freddie Mercury tribute concert. George Michael sings
Somebody to Love.
Somebody to Love, and Elton John and Axl Rose sing Bohemian Rhapsody. And when Axl comes out for that famous part, the crowd, I mean, to say they lose their mind would be an understatement. I mean, if there was a roof, to use the tired cliche, the roof would have come off the building. Right. And I said, you know, it's a shame we'll never, ever get moments like this, because at concerts now, everyone's on their phones. And your tweet made me think of that. And what you said was dead on. Why is singing in unison? It's always just a phenomenal experience.
I don't know, but if you've ever been in an arena where it happens, it's like a goosebumps thing. And
yeah.
And it's happening some. I mean, people, I mean, because it's Twitter, I mean, you know how that goes. Like, well, you know, Michigan fans sing Mr. Brightside. Like, I know, I've heard it. yeah. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about sort of the spontaneous singing,
yes,
which you see, Premier League is where it feels most organic, where there can just be spontaneous singing where everyone knows what they're meant to sing. It's like, right, it's like, I'm not Catholic, but it's like Catholic mass where everyone knows the words to the things and they know when they're supposed to do them. I would always feel like I didn't know what to do. And I would go to, if I was with a friend and I was in church and there was a thing we were supposed to say, and I would be like, oh boy, I don't know the thing I'm supposed to do. And then I'm not a heretic. I just don't know. I don't know the lines of the song. I'm sorry. And I think any crowd singing, sing along, whatever, it's always fun.
Great.
Many, 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 many years ago, Jimmy, when I was a kid in Cole Fieldhouse going to Maryland basketball games with my dad, Lefty Driesell was the coach. He's in the Hall of Fame now. And the Maryland thing was, when they won a big game, they sang, speaking of church, the Amen chorus. And 14,000 people at the end of like a big game, and it's tense the whole game, and you know you're going to win, and they're everyone singing the Amen chorus. It was the coolest thing in the world. And as a friend of mine suggested, thank God they stopped doing that before the game against Duke, because there's a minute left and we'd have been singing the Amen chorus and they would have shut the chorus down and won the game. That would have been horrendous. But in general, I have found singing as a group, every now and then when they'll do, like, they'll play the first two notes of the anthem and then the crowd sings the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be patriotic to have that be really a moving thing.
It can go. I'm just thinking about my experiences as a Yankee fan, and it can go two ways though, because I don't know if they still do this, because I haven't been to a game probably in like three seasons, because that's a whole other issue. But like,
what's the issue?
$40 to park and $18 for a bottle of water. Go fuck yourself. So the issue is the, you know, in Yankee Stadium, they built a moat because they don't want the regular fans mixing in with the highfalutin fans. So the whole thing's a bad experience. But my issue with my point is, I don't know if they still do YMCA. That's a horrific sing-along experience, YMCA.
Agreed.
But New York, New York, Frank Sinatra after win is great. I mean, I was at a Braves-Yankees World Series game. There was a walk-off home run. I forgot who hit it. I wish I remembered. And to have at the old Yankee Stadium with everyone singing Frank Sinatra, that's a phenomenal experience. But your point, more sing-alongs, and the word you hit is spontaneous. More spontaneous sing-alongs, we need them.
It was a long time ago, and so long ago that A, the Washington football team was good. B, the Washington football team was called the Redskins, and the sing-along was Hail to the Redskins. And
right.
much like New York, New York, when you get to It's Up to You, New York, New York, like that crescendo is unbeatable. Yeah. And when you'd get to the end of that song and it was Fight for Old DC, and when you'd be an RFK and they beat somebody big, I was at an NFC championship game. They beat the 49ers, and you like Fight for Old DC, that little 2 second, whatever it is, moment is as, that's as good as being at a. Celebratory feeling and 50 some odd thousand people singing together. Hard to top. YMCA, yeah. Though, probably we could pass on that one.
Absolutely. All right, Scott, great tweet, great idea. Let's get the sing-alongs going. Appreciate you coming on. Always a pleasure. Enjoy your summer and your time off, and I'm sure we'll get you on during football season and college football and talk about some bad beats.
I look forward to it, and just please know, even if it's a pain in the ass to get me on, if I didn't think you were a mensch and if I didn't enjoy the conversation, I would just say no. I'm not lying it. When I say I got a thing. But today I didn't have it. Today, no thing. You're my thing today.
Listen, you come on and you're excellent. That's the problem. So I'm always like, okay, I need a good conversation, light, fun, someone who's good. Let's get this. If you weren't good, I wouldn't ask. So that's the,
there we go.
Again, yin and yang of it.
All right. We're done playing. We're done. Right. We're done giving each other the hug from afar. You'll be right. Good, Jimmy.
You too. Take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
All right, joining me now, as he does every single week right here on the SI Media Podcast, in the Train of Thought segment, my buddy from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV, Sal Licata. Sal, how are you this week?
Do we have nice reviews this week, or what are we looking at?
No reviews this week. We're going to pass. Oh, okay. Last week was a little rough, so we'll take a break. We won't read any harsh reviews.
That was light to compare to some of the phone calls that I get on the overnight, so it was okay. I felt right at home.
Yeah, it was, there was only one. I mean, really, like out of all the reviews we've read, I mean, I think like one was negative. So it's a good ratio. People seem to be happy with the podcast.
I saw a guy I went to the Met game the other day. Some guy was like, "Hey man." And I didn't hear what he said at first. And I had my wife relay what he said to me. He said, "Be less angry and more happy." So
there you go.
I was just like, yeah, okay. Now, if I heard what he said, I'd probably be like, "You try and work in the overnights." But anyway.
So wait, we haven't discussed this. You went to a Met game with your wife and your daughter?
Disaster. It was a disaster.
Here's what I want to know. When all was said and done, what did it end up costing you? Or did you get tickets through work or something like that?
I know. Luckily, I got tickets through work for free.
Okay.
Thank God, because it would have been. And they were good seats. Now, somebody else must have used them because I was basically there for one inning, which was a complete waste. But I did not pay to go. Financially, I didn't pay. I paid a price, just not financially.
I mean, you have to be, I won't go to games because of the cost anymore. It's just, it's offensive what the food and the drinks are. Just, I can't do it.
I, I
can do it. I just don't want to do it.
I could not believe, like, one of my buddies was happening, was going to go to the game, and then another friend was going to go. I was like, all right, well, what section are you in? Maybe I'll buy tickets. It's perfect. I'm off. I don't have anything to do. I looked at the ticket prices. I couldn't believe what they were for a Mets Marlins game, field level or not. I don't care where the seat is. You're talking about over $200. That is insane.
Yeah, for a regular season baseball game.
What? For? I mean, I paid almost as much, maybe a little bit more for Rangers playoffs, which is still a lot, but like at least it's a Ranger playoff game. Mets Marlins in June for $200. You got to be insane.
If it's a playoff game, okay, but a meaningless one out of 162, I mean, that's crazy.
Agreed. I was shocked.
I'll ask you off air about how do you navigate with your wife and daughter, since there seems like there's issues there, and I don't want to get you in trouble.
No, never again. That's all you need to know. Never again. And so,
your daughter's way too young to go to a Met game.
Well, now you tell me. I didn't know that. I'm a rookie. I don't know these things. I'm learning.
I mean, I that's basic. You don't take a one-year-old to City Field. They're asking for trouble. That's on you.
Yeah.
All right. Couple of topics here I want to get into. I'm going to start with one. It's not going to be what you think, but let me just lay it out. I wrote a column on Monday in Train of Thoughts because Sage Steele is suing ESPN, and ESPN has filed a motion to have the lawsuit dismissed. I don't want to get into the lawsuit. Everyone could read the column if they want to do that. But here's what I want to get your take on, because I feel like you're a little bit like me in this regard. I don't understand how you can sue your company and show up to work every day. Now, listen, I'm not blaming Sage Steele. This is what she has to do. She has a contract. She's under contract. She's fulfilling the contract. But that awkwardness and that weirdness would give me such anxiety every single day. I don't understand like how I can sue SI and then just like, oh, hi, welcome to the SI Media Podcast. Like, I think it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard.
Could you sue
FAN and show up to work every day?
I would assume that they would fire me. Now, like legally, I guess they can't, they wouldn't, I guess, technically be able to do that. But you know that that's the end of your career. Like, I would know, and I don't know what's going to happen with Sage Steele, who I'm a big fan of. I like Sage Steele, and, you know, she feels that she needs to do this, whatever. But yeah, there's no way I would do
the awkwardness.
What happened?
The awkwardness is just.
Are you right? I feel awkward enough as it is. And there's not even a lawsuit. Like, you think, imagine going to work with a lawsuit? Come on now.
I can't imagine it. I just can't imagine how she shows up and does her job every day. And then ESPN, like, you know, they have like producers dealing with her. Like, it's just, there's always an elephant in the room. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's got to be. When does a contract run out? They both got to be like, get me to the finish line here.
So there was all this stuff in ESPN's motion to dismiss the lawsuit where Sage Steele was supposed to interview Halle Berry, and Halle Berry's PR team then didn't want Sage to do it because she had these controversial comments on Jay Cutler's podcast. And then the V Foundation didn't want her involved. And then the other bombshell in it, she her contract, to answer your question, goes through 2024. So she has this year, next year. And she's making $3 million a year.
Anchor
Sports Center at 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Suing, I'd be begging them to let me stay. Sue, please, sir. I don't care if you're wrong me. Yes, let me cash in that $3 million. The amount of money that some of these people make, it's ridiculous. How is she going to top that?
TV money, baby. TV money.
$3 million.
And she's been there a really long time, though. But yes, still, I mean,
if someone said to her, Jimmy, seriously, and I don't want to just pick on her because I don't know her situation, but anybody, if somebody said to you, hey, you could have a job on TV, we like you, we think you're good, we'll give you $500,000 a year, that would be to me like, oh my, okay, where are you getting that money? When ESPN says no, where is she going to get that type of money? Maybe it's just me being naive and stupid, and it's why I'm not making any real money, but my goodness.
That's what's surprising. So I don't want to get into the legalities of the lawsuit because I'm not a lawyer and I don't know all the technicalities of it, but ESPN's defense, so she made these comments on Jay Cutler's podcast where she said ESPN had the vaccine mandate and she said it was sick and scary. So then ESPN kept her off the air for a little bit, but they kept paying her. So their defense is we kept paying her. It wasn't really a suspension, blah, blah, blah. Now, me personally, I would love if SI suspended me with pay. Give me 2-3 weeks off and pay me. I'll sign me up right now. What do I have to say on this podcast to get that deal? So we'll see how that lawsuit plays out. But I just I can't imagine suing someone and then showing up to work every day. It, you know, suing my boss, my company. It's just
I give her credit, though, because we joke around about it. Obviously, she feels strongly about whatever the issues may be. I give her credit for putting herself in that spot. It's not something that I would ever feel strong enough to do. I'd be afraid of losing my job and ruining my career. So it's not something I could ever do. I wouldn't have the guts to do it. I'll admit it. So I give her credit. But man, that's a tough situation.
Now, speaking of lawsuits, are you into this Vince McMahon WWE scandal and then him showing up on SmackDown and Raw and all this stuff? Because really is wild.
So he showed up again on Monday. Did he do anything more than just the one word or whatever?
It was the same type of deal. He came out to the ring, mentioned how many episodes of Monday Night Raw there have been. Over 1,000. Said Monday Night Raw is the longest running episodic show on television, and that John Cena would be on next week's show to celebrate his 20th or 25th year in the WWE. And then he left. He was on camera for like 2 minutes, like SmackDown. I mean, clearly he's sending a message to the board that's investigating him by saying, you know, fuck you, this is my company, and I'm going to still be on TV when I want.
Yeah, I'm into it, but not enough to watch. And I saw the clip. I was interested in what happened on Friday night or whatever.
I just want to know if lawyers are telling Vince to stay off TV and Vince being Vince is saying, I'm going to do what I want. And he shows up. Or if Vince had a plan to say a bunch of stuff and the lawyer said, you can't say any of this, go out there and say nothing, which in his two appearances on SmackDown Friday and on Raw Monday, he has said literally nothing.
Can you just explain to me, and excuse my ignorance, what the exact issue is? Is it that he potentially used company money to pay hush money? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, so apparently, I guess the allegation is that...
Because it's not the affair, obviously, right?
Right, he paid the woman $3 million, supposedly.
Oh, but that's not an issue in itself, other than where the money came from?
Well, I would assume if he's using, you know, company money, that's I think there was a report that said like this was not the first time. So I think they're investigating to see if he's been using money over the years to pay out people. Who knows?
Okay.
And there was also some, there was some details there about the woman was also having an affair with someone in the talent relations or something like that. So it's not like, you know,
it's a messy, right. As much as he, you know, I mean, he created one of the companies that people love the most in the last, 30, 40 years, whatever it's been. But there's always been kind of a dark, dirty element to it. So I'm not surprised in the least. What I'm surprised at is if he actually gets in trouble and has the company taken from him.
So to sort of piggyback on what you're getting at, like I do think there has to be more here. Like you said, like, okay, so Vince has an affair with someone. Now, allegedly the affair happened with like a paralegal. So that's inappropriate. It's someone who's working beneath him. You're not supposed to do that. So he has the affair.
Okay, right. That's right. An issue, right.
So that happens. Then he pays her allegedly $3 million to keep quiet. Now, if you just say, okay, someone has an affair and they pay someone $3 million. Now, $3 million in the WWE world is like you and I paying someone $10.
Right.
So that in itself, it does not seem like this huge, massive scandal that's going to get him kicked out. But the fact that they would then investigate and he would step aside means they're looking at a lot of things, I would assume.
Right. But the fact that sexual harassment or using his abusive power. And then I think, like I said, the money from company money, those could all be potential issues.
Right. Now, you'd have to believe, again, just a speculation, but Vince is, 70 something years old. You'd have to believe this probably isn't the first time this has happened in, you know, his life there. But who knows? They're going to investigate. And, you know, it was weird because Stephanie just took a leave of absence like a month ago and then she came back. So no matter how they want to play it, and Vince could show up and say, there's something here. There's a lot here. We don't know it yet.
You think that would have been the other thing I wanted to ask you real quick was that whole, the Stephanie angle to me is even more confusing, because why would she, who loves the company as much as anybody right next to her father, why would she step away only to now come back? So they had to know something what's going on. No, doesn't that seem fishy to you?
It seemed, I think we discussed it. It definitely seems fishy.
Right.
No, you know who I discussed it with? I discussed it with Richard Deitch when he was a guest on 2 or 3 weeks ago. We discussed it for several minutes and we both agreed that Stephanie stepping down or taking a leave of absence seemed very, very fishy. And then she comes back right away to, you know,
right.
Clearly Vince doesn't ever want to lose control of this company. And he's sending that message. I think that's what he was doing by appearing on SmackDown and Raw. Now I'm curious, is he going to show up every week? I mean, it's just, you know, the on-air character of Mr. McMahon is still around, but Vince is not around. It's only in the world wrestling entertainment can that happen. Another media story I just wanted to ask you about quickly, because you're not a bit, you don't tweet about politics ever, but I'm just curious because there's a whole big thing this week because The Athletic now has a policy. It's not really their policy. The Athletic got bought by the Times, and the Times has a policy where they don't want the reporters tweeting about politics, so the Athletic staff can't tweet about politics. I'm just curious, does FAN and SNY, do they have a Twitter company Twitter policy?
Good question. There is definitely stuff that is written into contracts about the use of social media, but I don't know about specifics as far as what you can and cannot say. I mean, I just use common sense pretty much. I would not go anywhere near the political stuff, but there is, I think every company now has to have some kind of rule about Twitter use for on-air people and maybe full-time people in general.
I'm torn on this one because I get why companies wouldn't want their people tweeting, you know, politician X is an asshole. But I also think to ask media people who are in the media, which is such a big part of politics, not to tweet about politics is just such a difficult thing to do. And the fact is, you know, I know you don't like it. Nobody really likes it, but politics does get mixed in with sports. I mean, if the president of the United States is calling, you know, NFL players, what did he call them when they kneeled for the sons of bitches or whatever? Like, how are you not? You don't remember Trump doing that?
No, I mean, I remember him having an issue with it. I don't remember him calling specific names.
Yeah. So I don't know. But then the flip side of that becomes then the Athletic people are on Twitter complaining, and I get it. But like, you can't be that wrapped up in Twitter. Like, if you can't tweet, you can.
Well, what about? But then what about if you go on air with it? Like, from a radio perspective, I remember I got during the pandemic. Now, during the pandemic, it was impossible. Impossible to do a sports talk show without at least mentioning a little bit about what is going on with the current climate back then. So I remember getting an email, you know, from angry fans emailed my boss, who then in turn got, it was actually me and Summers both got in trouble on the same email for saying something. I don't even want to get into it with you. I'll tell you off the air what it was, but it was anti-one public figure who was the president at the time. And I forget what it was, but it was like, hey, tone it down on this stuff. And once I got that email, I said, I'm not even touching it anymore. I don't want to go down that road. You're right. It's a sports show. I'll figure something out. But during the pandemic, it was near impossible because they were intertwined, to your point. Right.
Well, also, if the president of the United States goes on television and says, we got to find a way to get disinfected into our lungs, how do you not make fun of that? Well, no matter what line of business you're in, you have to make fun of that.
But you're always going to offend. You're going to offend half the people. So I'm not into that. I respect other people's opinion. I know you and I differ on this too sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely do not respect other people's opinion. There's no way. There's just no way. Sorry. I probably respect, I would say, maybe 20% of people's opinions.
Oh, that is hilarious. But yeah. So anyway, I just tried to steer clear.
Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
All right, this sort of feeds off of this a little bit, but I just want to ask, have you watched, I watched over the weekend, the Ricky Gervais Netflix stand-up. Have you watched that?
No, but I didn't know about this. I got to check it out.
See, this is where you not know, see, you don't know about it. Again, this was a huge deal on Twitter because he made some transgender jokes and he got a lot of heat for it. But I love Ricky Gervais. Love
me
Ricky.
Too.
And I love Dave Chappelle. And this is what I want to say about these two guys after I watched this over the weekend. So I love Ricky Gervais. I love Dave Chappelle. I think they're both hilarious. Now, they've both gotten in trouble recently because they do this anti-trans content on their stand-up specials. Netflix has stood by them. They say it's jokes, et cetera. I didn't enjoy either one of their last specials. And it has not, and it's not because of that stuff. But if you watch their specials, I'd be very curious to hear what you think of this. They're not doing, their whole act seems to be about political things. And I don't mind, like, you know, making fun of people and all that, but there's no more, I feel like in comedy, there's no more observational humor about day-to-day minutiae. And there's no more like Eddie Murphy, Delirious, the funniest thing that's ever been created. Like his whole thing about the cookout and Aunt Bunny and the uncle, like there's none of, I feel like there's none of that in stand-up anymore. Like even in the stand-up comedians who are trying to be funny about current events and topics, mm-hmm. the current events and the topics are not funny or light anymore. And there's nothing about, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld does all observational stuff. Like he had a whole, you know, I think I've I saw him once live and he did a whole thing about how golf is the stupidest sport and you're hitting a ball into a hole. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned Eddie Murphy with Aunt Bunny or even Eddie Murphy, you know, the ice cream man. There's no, I like that's, my issue with Ricky Gervais and Dave Chappelle is like everything is heavy and like serious topical and they're trying to be funny about it. And it just, at some point you want some lightness in these standups, but you haven't watched it. So you can't.
Do you think, well, I'll give you an example. Something I have watched recently. Did you see the George Carlin special?
The first part. I don't, there was two parts. I didn't see the second part. So the first part.
So I just watched that. Now, George Carlin, a guy who clearly was ahead of his time and he was talking about real world issues even then, but you're right. It felt like it doesn't feel as serious and as sensitive as today. And so my question to you then would be, is it the comedian's fault or is it because of the nature of the topics in the social climate that we live in, making everything so tense and everybody's on edge and so sensitive about things? Now, I don't know. I didn't see those topics or see those specials yet, but I feel like comedians have been making fun of, you know, political issues or topical things forever.
Right. But the topics now are all heavy. That's my issue. Like,
right.
You know, I don't know, go make up a rant about like McDonald's or something. Like, give me something light. Like, that's all I'm at. Like, you know, like, you know, Ricky Gervais does a lot of religious stuff. And, you know, I usually enjoy that. I'm not anti that. It's just that, you know, if you're going to do like all, you know, it's complaining about woke people, then the transgender jokes, then religion. And the, like, give me, like, let's talk about how summer sucks. Like you and I did last week. Like, give me something light at some point. That's my issue with these. I'd be curious to know what people think because, you know, I think people just hear something offensive and get outraged. I can go past that. Is, and I want to judge it on the whole thing.
Okay.
And the whole thing falls flat because there's never anything light.
One of the ones that I loved in the last couple of years, I'm pretty sure it was during the pandemic, or maybe it was right before that, was the Sandler special. I know you're a huge Sandler guy.
Right.
But 99 fresh or something like that. Oh, no, it was 100% fresh or something like that, whatever it was.
Right.
And I loved it. It was exactly what you're saying. There were some songs in there. There was some silly crap, some fun stuff. And it made me laugh and not get caught up in, you know, serious issues. So that would be something that I would recommend. But again, that's Sandler and that's his type of stuff. The other stuff, I can't take the serious stuff anymore. I don't want to hear it. So I love Gervais. I'll check it out. Well, even Chappelle has turned me off a little bit with all that stuff.
Yeah. And I want to be clear that it's not that the comedians are serious. They're doing jokes off of the serious topics. But then the whole special just feels like, you know, the whole hour and a half just feels like, you know, everything's heavy. But there was a great quote I saw this week from Bill Burr, who's another one of my favorites, who's always in trouble too. But he was talking on his I guess he did a thing about guns on his podcast. And again, serious topic from a comedian. But he has this quote. He goes, "I always think I'm liberal until I talk to a liberal. And then I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind, you know? Then I go, maybe I'm a conservative. And I talk to a conservative like this fucking person does not make any sense." So, you know, that's funny. Right. But it's still, again, it's like, I don't want to, like, can we do a special about conservative, liberal, woke? That, like, just can we talk about just day-to-day minutia? That's what I want to stand up special.
Yeah. I mean, I guess just so much of it, though, is about real life. And unfortunately, that's the type of stuff that dominates. That's why I keep my head in the sand and right or wrong. That's what I do and stick to sports.
This is bad for YouTube, but I'm going to ask Shelby. I'm putting you on the spot. I never bring you on. I apologize if you're not ready for this. But Shelby's in the comedy world, and my producer Shelby does a bunch of comedy podcasts. Did you see the Ricky Gervais special? You could type or talk.
I didn't watch that or the other one because I think it's really interesting to hear you guys talk about this because it's like you seem more normal because I agree with you.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I know comedians who, like, Chappelle goes on stage at and they turn to each other and go, someone's obsessed.
Right. That's how his last special came off. Like, if you want to do 5 minutes on that stuff, like, that's fine. Or 10 minutes, but his whole special felt just, again, if you want to do some bit about woke people and liberals are crazy and conservatives are crazy, I have no issue with that. But give me like 5 minutes on how every store still has 90% of the parking lot donated to curbside pickup when COVID is over. Like, can we get rid of every spot being curbside pickup? COVID's over. Like, I want to hear about that a little bit too. Well, not just
everybody wants to, like, you know, and they praise like the comedians who happen to be clean on their material, who are also popular.
Right.
And they do their own stuff and they go, "Oh, I'm not going to do any of that." Like, watch Nate Bargatze and Earthquake. He has a half hour. Nate Bargatze has 2 1-hour specials on Netflix. Okay. Earthquake has a half an hour special on Netflix, which weirdly, I think Chappelle produced, but they give you everything you'd want. Talking about normal stuff.
I'm going to check those out. I'm going to end it with this. If you're doing a stand-up special, if Sal was doing a stand-up special, I would much rather hear Sal give me the full recap of his day at Citi Field with his wife and 1-year-old than complaining about woke people or complaining about, you know, crazy conservatives who love guns. Like, we got all that already. I want to hear about Sal's day being tortured as a dad. That's the comedy I want.
It was a good radio segment. I'll tell you that. I'm not a stand-up special. If I get, you know, when she's 3 or 4, maybe I have a full special in me. But for now, it was just a good segment.
I want
her and the wife. Yeah. Oh,
I want that special next time I see you. All right, Sal. Be well. Take it easy. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right. My thanks to Scott Van Pelt and Sal Licata for doing this week's episode of the SI Media Podcast. If you missed any recent episodes, we had Biz Nasty, Paul Bissonnette on last week, Brian Curtis from The Ringer 2 weeks ago, Richard Deitch 3 weeks ago, Joe Davis from Fox Sports 4 weeks ago, all right here on the SI Media Podcast. Give them a listen, download, subscribe, and if you could leave a review on Apple, that helps tremendously. All right, that wraps it up for this week. Again, thanks to Scott Van Pelt. Great interview, great conversation, and Sal Licata. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.